opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here I am back again. This is Rick Redding, your host for the Rusty Satellite Show, where you'll hear from the most interesting people in the Ville. I am very much enjoying a very busy week this week. I got to talk to two incredibly interesting folks, a brand new friend and a very old friend I hadn't talked to in a long time. I'm sure you're going to enjoy my conversations with Travis Cravens and John Flyshaker. And so I will tell you all about those folks here in just a minute. Just a reminder that LouisvilleKY.com is the site where a lot of the news that I talk about on this show is posted, and it's been a busy week in Louisville for news, all sorts of things going on, and in my life, a few things of note. Of course, you all know you're tired of hearing about my foot, but I am another week away from getting my air cast off. I've been swimming at LA Fitness, and that has been great to get exercising again. I talked a little bit with, I guess, John Flyshaker about athletics and how when we get old, it's so hard to keep up doing what we love to do, But after a long layoff like I've had since my surgery in November, it's good to be doing any kind of exercise. And so that's what I've been doing. Also a busy week of events around town. And if you want to find out about them, a lot of them are at LouisvilleKY.com. We're going to talk about a big, big event with my first guest, Trevor on the Tailspin Ale Fest. And that is going to be quite an event. And I really learned something new about beer and the beer business, because Trevor is the president of a magazine called Draft Magazine, and it is a printed publication, 180,000 subscribers, very impressive thing, and he happens to live in Louisville, and it's one of those businesses, because of the way things are today, you can live anywhere and do anything, and, you know, it doesn't matter. There doesn't have to be an office and a newsroom and all that. So anyway, Trevor lives out in East Louisville. He's also the mayor of Green Spring, a little community where my good buddy Mark Hebert lives. But Trevor, as a few years ago with Tisha Ganey, who is the who has been on this show before, came up with the idea for the Tailspin Ale Fest, and it is a big event. It's held every year. This will be the third year at Bowman Field. They got a lot of new and cool stuff going on, and I'm trying to talk him into letting me come out and bartend or at least pour some beers at that event at Bowman Field. So anyway, we got a lot to say about that. In the second half of the show, I just want to tell you real quickly, John Flyshaker, who for 45 years, he told me, has been focused on the media as an attorney, and he has represented almost every media organization in the state. He used to have to read some of my stories at Business First to make sure that we weren't going to get sued, if you believe it. So he's got a lot of opinions on the state of media and what's going on in journalism today. So I'm always interested in talking about that. John's an old friend. We actually both played racquetball for a long time, and he was a lot better than me, but we had a lot of fun doing that, and it was great to reconnect with John Flyshaker. So stay tuned to the second half of the show for that. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and let you hear my interview with Trevor Cravens of Draft Magazine and the Tailspin Ale Fest.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. 978-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And I'm doing a little day drinking today at the World of Beer with Trevor Cravens. Trevor, welcome to the show.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Now, Trevor is the co-founder of the Tailspin Ale Fest and the publisher and president, I guess, of Draft Magazine, which I didn't know existed until recently. And your world revolves around beer, then.
It does, some days. Cheers.
Cheers to you. Now, yeah. You helped me pick out what we're having here, and why did you think this yellow thing was for me?
Well, you commented that you often drink Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the flavors that come out of Blue Moon, you get a little bit of orange and coriander spice.
Okay.
So what we got you was a Whitaker, which is a Belgium ale that has some of those same flavors in it. But
cool.
as you pointed out, it tastes a little bit different
than
that.
It's a little yellower, I guess.
I'm drinking the Country Boy Cougar Bait.
Okay.
Mainly because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got to go back to work after this.
Oh well,
it's one of their lighter beer.
All right,
about 4.5%.
Well,
alcohol.
Okay, so I'm making you do some day drinking, which has got to be part of your job. But tell me about this magazine, because it's a national magazine, and it's interesting that you don't really have offices here, but it you can be the president here, and your cohorts are in other cities.
Yeah, so Draft started in 2006 in Phoenix, Arizona, and I started working there in 2009, doing some marketing and stuff for them, and sort of moved my way up in a year or so to president. As one of the co-founders of Draft actually left, and we've been evolving. This is our 10th anniversary this year, so we're really proud of that. Made it through what was a tough time in publishing, I think, in 2010 or so. And so the magazine itself is it's a craft beer enthusiast magazine. We do a lot of craft beer reviews, Epicurean stories, travel, gear, things like that. It's really meant to be a lifestyle magazine that's very beer-centric. So, you know, we take all that stuff and look at it through the lens of beer and, you know, tell the readers basically not necessarily what to drink, but how to make the most of what you're drinking.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. And you know, you say you caught a downtime in publishing, but you're certainly on the upswing, it seems like, in craft beer. And the popularity, just as an observer, not knowing any numbers like you do, it seems to be like so many more breweries, so many more people interested in.
It really is. So that, you know, that was one of the benefits of our magazine. It's because we were, you know, sort of riding the wave of craft beer over the last 10 years and probably more recently the last 5 years, where you're seeing year-over-year double-digit growth in craft breweries. So it's really amazing what's happened to the industry. I mean, you've got upwards of 4,000 breweries now, whereas, you know, probably 5 years ago you had maybe 1,200 breweries in the country, and you're seeing this expansion not only with existing breweries that are expanding, but also new brew pubs, new small regional breweries that are opening, that are really making inroads in the beer industry. It's really neat.
What kind of thing do you credit it to? I mean, you got 180,000 subscribers. What kind of people are they who are so far into drinking craft beer that they subscribe to a magazine?
First off, I think the craft beer expansion or explosion is really based around localism. It's all these things you see happening everywhere, right? It started in the restaurant industry with farm to table, and now everybody wants their food to be local. They want their ingredients to be local. They want to know who's running the place, and I think that's carried over a lot in craft beer. You know, where we come in is, you know, you go to the liquor store and you're looking at the shelf and there's 500 SKUs right in front of you, and you're thinking,
what do I get?
What am I going to get, right? And So that's where Draft comes
in. The one
with
the coolest name.
Well, first of all, maybe it's the one that catches your eye. Maybe it's the one with the label you like, or something you've had before, or something you read about in Draft.
Or that you're familiar with. I know I have some Colorado beers that I like. Well, let's talk about the local market. I mean, I know you're covering things on a national basis, but locally, craft beer is strong. What is going on in this market in terms of new breweries, new growth?
Well, a lot of people would tell you that Louisville is still kind of catching up. There's some new breweries that have opened in the last year. I think the number of breweries in Kentucky has now doubled in the last 2 years. I think we're at right around 20, somewhere around that number. But you've got a couple new breweries in Louisville. There might be some new ones in planning. I don't know how that's going, but you know, from what I can tell, craft beer in Louisville has certainly caught on and is a movement in Louisville. You know, much like the restaurants in Louisville, it's the localism tying back to the community. That's what people in this community really support. What I've noticed about Louisville is that they really support their local businesses. And I've only lived here 5 years now. So.
Okay. Well, you've made a big impact in your short time here, because with a former Rusty Satellite Show guest, Tisha Ganey, you have started this great event. Tell me about that.
So Tisha and I co-founded Tailspin Ale Fest 3 years ago. This is our third anniversary. We saw a need in the market for beer festival that was, you know, really a high quality event.
Uh-huh.
Brought out a lot of brewery representation and a lot of great beers. And Tish does a phenomenal job curating our beer list. I would say that it ranks up there with any beer fest in the region. We actually were just nominated for USA Today Reader's Choice Award for best beer festival in the country. So
now you're going head to head with the best
we're going head to head.
Louisville's a little behind. So how is that judged? Or I understand people can vote.
I think, you know, it's probably more about how many people know about your event. I think we're hoping to finish in the top 10. I'm not sure that we're gonna win, but you know, we're just honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, Tailspin's like a couple years old, but I guess beer festival has been going on for a long time. I mean, what you're up against is probably people who've been around a while.
Yeah, we certainly didn't invent the beer festival. Tisha and I had been to enough of them across the country and thought, boy, this would be a lot of fun to do in Louisville. But you've got some beer festivals like, you know, Great American Beer Festival is 32 years old, and they attract 70,000 people a year out to Denver, Colorado. So that's one of the reasons we're so proud to be a part of the list. We're a 2,000 person event in Louisville.
Well, I missed it last year, but I went to one out in J-Town. But for people who've never been to a beer festival, tell me sort of how that works, because there's a lot of, I guess, sampling of small amounts, right?
Yeah, so you know, we'll have about 150 different types of beer at the event. And before the event, we distribute an app for your phone where you can go in and see the beer list. We actually have the beer list up now at Liquor Barn's website. And, you know, the idea is you come in and, you know, it ranges from people who've never been to a beer festival, who don't try a lot of beer, so all the way up to people who are coming there for their whale, right? They're coming in to find some of the more rare beers that they can't get on the shelves, or they're only available in tap rooms, so they'll come to sample those types of beers. And, you know, we certainly don't expect or want anyone to sample all 150.
I know I can do it. Just give me a chance.
But, you know, our hope is that you come in and you find something that you've never had before, find something new that you like, and it just sort of continues your craft beer journey as you, you know, start to learn about more beers.
Because, you know, what I've found, it's kind of a challenge to become knowledgeable about the different tastes of beer. Just like, I guess wine is even more so, but the only way to do it, I guess, is to sample.
The only way to do it is to sample. sample it, you know. And that's the great thing about beer. It's really about what you like.
Okay.
It's about what you're tasting in the beer and how it appeals to you.
Okay. Now Tailspin is just 3 years old. Tell me a little bit about it, location, and how many, you know, people you expect.
So Tailspin is at, it's at Bowman Field. We do it at the Louisville Executive Aviation Center, which is a big private airplane hangar over at Bowman Field. We'll have about 2,000 people there, and we do. We have a charity partner, Dare to Care, is our charity partner, and you know, one of the reasons we have the event is to benefit Dare to Care. So we're hoping to contribute about $10,000 to Dare to Care this year. That's our goal. And we brought on some great sponsor partners who helped us do that. Liquor Barn does the Paper Stein program. They contribute money to Dare to Care. We have people donating raffle prizes. The Yum Foundation has come on as a sponsor. And all that goes towards us being able to make a larger contribution to the Dare to Care Foundation.
Well, it must take a lot of people because, you know, I'm worried if I'm going to be fighting 2,000 people for beer, you know, I'm going to be standing in line a lot, right?
The line is sometimes by design, because if you didn't have a line, you'd run to every single brewery in the place and be done in 30 minutes. So we've got this year, I think we've got 60 breweries, plus another 18 vendors that are going to be there, and then we've got 5 food trucks. So, you know, there's other things to do besides.
So I guess the breweries bring the service. They bring the people who tell you about the beer.
They do. The breweries will usually send representatives out to tell you about the beer. We have a huge core of volunteers that, honestly, we couldn't do the event without them.
Okay.
And they are, because of Kentucky state law, that they're basically the ones who do the pouring.
Okay.
But they'll have the brewery reps near or around, kind of being able to talk about the beer and tell you what's
going
on.
Yeah, I volunteered at the J-Town thing they did last summer, so I know. I poured some beers. It was fun.
It's kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
I don't mind working at beer festivals.
This year, I'll do it. I think idea next. Not that I am one, but you should have celebrity beer pourers. That should be your next thing for your.
If we could get enough celebrities out there, I would. Well, wait, you're going to be there pouring.
That's right. I'll be there.
There you go.
That's
celebrity
a start.
Pour.
That's a start. So, and the date is
February 20th
at Bowman Field. It's going to be a great event. A lot of people are expected to show up. So
we sell out every year. So
sell out every year.
You got to go to the website, tailspinalefest.com. Get your tickets in advance.
It's 1st of February. You still got time to get tickets. And Trevor, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right, so as Trevor said, you better get your tickets soon for the Tailspin Ale Fest over at Bowman Field. Sounds like a great time and a way to break up February. We're having all this mild weather. I really enjoy it. And, you know, I have something to say about weather. If you know me, you know, I talk a lot about maybe the media's treatment of weather, I guess. I urge you to go listen to another podcast that's in the Louisville.am network. It's hosted by Cindy Tandy, my good friend, and it is called Louisville Uncovered. Cindy's project, and I want to tell you, I was a guest on her show that was just published this week, and she made the mistake of asking my opinion about our city's reaction to its one sort of halfway significant snowstorm that occurred, I guess, last week, and, you know, I got a chance to say my piece on that, so I urge you to go over there. Cindy's got a great program over there with Louisville Uncovered, and it's something you ought to know if you want to keep up with what's going on in our fair city. My hometown, Louisville, KY. I've got a couple of announcements too. Things have to do with me, I guess. You may look forward to those of you that know me know I do the Breakfast of Champions with four or five cohorts. We host the Breakfast of Champions on the second Tuesday of every odd numbered month at the University Club on campus. We have secured our speaker. It's going to be Robbie Valentine, who listeners to this show are familiar with. Robbie has appeared on this show about a month or so ago and talked about the he works a lot with our young people in our community, and I I think you'll be interested to hear what he has to say. He's an experienced public speaker, and we will start advertising that on Facebook in the very near future. But one thing I've always wanted to do since I started doing Breakfast of Champions about 10 years ago was to create an evening event. I hear so many times I've heard from people who say, I am not getting up for your breakfast. It's too early in the morning, and I'm not going to do it. Wish you'd do something in the afternoon. So I had this idea for a long time, and it's like a lot of stories I write. I might get a headline, and until I get the headline, I don't do the story. Well, the event we're going to be doing, I'm working with Caroline Knopp on, and it is called Cocktails with Champions. That's right. Cocktails with Champions is coming. It's a real thing. It's coming on March 2nd at O'Shea's in the Highlands, and it's going to be a great event sponsored by Ballantine Whiskey. Our good friend Paul Toole, who's been on the show, is going to come up with some great sort of St. Patrick's Day themed cocktails for us to sample at this event. And there is no real other purpose. It's a good chance for people to get together and enjoy some cocktails and talk about some things. The folks from Stage One are going to be there. You know, Hannah Wimmett was on this show, and there's going to be some entertainment and there's going to be prizes. I really urge you to put this on your calendar for March 2nd from 5 to 7. It's Cocktails with Champions. Look for some information about that very soon in all my social media. So there's all my stuff. Also, want to talk about some news about somebody close to me. I had dinner last night with Josh Redding, my son, who you have heard if you've listened to the show on a regular basis. You know, Josh is a graduate of the University of Louisville Speed School. He's a computer engineering graduate. He just took a new job, which allows him to make the decision, along with his new bride, Sarah, to move to Denver. It's something he's wanted to do for a long time, and they've just been able to make that happen. So they're moving out to Denver later this month. So that's big news about a former Rusty Satellite Show guest. Speaking of Rusty Satellite Show guest, I'm full of transitions today, right? I put something up on Facebook about the event I went to with Passport Health Plans the other day. And of course, you know, Passport is our longtime sponsor here at the Rusty Satellite Show. But I was amazed at how many former Rusty Satellite Show guests were in attendance at this press conference. It's a big deal. Passport is teamed with a company called Evolent, and there is going to be a creation of 600 jobs, a Medicaid Center of Excellence. It's a big, big deal. A great thing for our city. Mark Carter was the CEO of Passport, was sort of the main speaker. Jill Bell, who does marketing over there, was there. Mayor Greg Fisher made a speech. Dr. Sarah Moyer and Dr. Craig Blakely, both of whom have been on this show, were in attendance. So was Mary Ellen Wiederwall from the mayor's office. David Yates, who was just on last week, the new Metro Council president, spoke to him there. Chris Hotz of WDRB was there covering it. So I had a lot of folks that I knew at the press conference, and it was really great news. It was a very happy scene because this is, of course, Mayor Fisher. He's Mr. Jobs. He loves to have an opportunity to do an announcement where he talks about how many new jobs are coming to town, and they're going to be located out there in Commerce Crossings. If you know about Passport, they are located out there off Preston, just south of the Snyder Freeway, and very big news for Passport. I'm very happy for them. I do some other work for Passport, and looking forward to continuing that relationship as Passport continues to grow and become a bigger company. So what else is in the news this week? A lot of very interesting things that get my attention. That's what I like to talk about on this section of the show. I guess I'm a fair weather fan. I like to talk about like the U of L basketball team when they're doing something good, and then when they like lose, I don't talk so much. So this week they had one of the best victories they've had in a long time. They beat second-ranked North Carolina at home this week and on Monday, and on Tuesday it was followed by UK, which was ranked 20th in the country, blew a 21-point lead to lose at Tennessee. Tennessee's like not even a 500 team, so there are problems in that program. But if you turn back the clock a little bit, we thought the world was ending with U of L because they had this embarrassing loss to Virginia last weekend. So it's the nature of the business. It's an up-and-down world of college basketball, and it's going to be a fantastic finish. We've got a few more weeks left in the season, and we'll get to the NCAA tournament and all that. So that's going on. And the other thing, the other big sports story, and I'll admit I haven't heard much about it, the Super Bowl's this Sunday. I am available if you want to invite me to your party. In the past, I've gone to John Gilderbloom's house sometimes for a party. The Panthers and the Broncos, I don't really have a great affinity for either team. Josh says he is not, just because he's moving to Denver, going to adopt the Broncos. We're pulling for Peyton and not necessarily for the Broncos. It would be great to see Peyton have a great, what will probably be his last game as an NFL quarterback. That would be fun. So a lot of people, I know there's a lot of parties around town for that. And it's something to look forward to. So what else did I do this week? This week I went to a sort of a special media invite to given out by Thornton's. Our friend Aaron Jones, who helps me get guests on the show occasionally, works with Thornton's, and they were pulling out, believe it or not, the emphasis at Thornton's, the whole marketing program there, is on food now. There is no mistaking the reality of life as a convenience store. Sales of tobacco are going down. Fuel costs are very low. I got gas for $1.44 today. And so Thornton's has trotted out. They have a chef. They showed us a chef, and they gave us some food samples that were great. They got pizza. They got a breakfast burrito. They got a buffalo chicken burrito for lunch. They want you to come in there, and basically instead of going to get gas at Thornton's and then McDonald's for the food for your kids, you know, everybody's on the go. They're all, everything is so fast. You can go inside Thornton's, get some decent food, and be on your way. So that's what they're selling. I actually had the pizza. I can't tell you that it was like really great. It was probably better than your average gas station pizza. Anyway, credit to Thornton's. I mean, they've remodeled those stores. I mean, the experience of going to a convenience store like Thornton's has certainly improved a lot. And I was happy to go and sample the free food. They had heart-shaped donuts. We're getting ready for Valentine's Day. So that was going on too. A couple other things happened in the news. I knew this was going to happen. I'm very glad that it did. The Derby Festival has invited Jordan Smith to I don't remember what, you know, Jordan Smith was on The Voice, and he's from Kentucky, and it was a big deal when he won that contest on NBC, you know, because he was a big surprise. He's got this big, big voice. He doesn't look like a musical star or anything, but he is going to be in town for Derby season. He's going to be the Grand Marshal at the Pegasus Parade. So that'll be something. I'm sure he'll be going to a lot of other events around town, but this announcement was made by the Derby Festival. Mike Berry, who's been on the show, made the announcement, and it's kind of a good thing. I'm looking forward to it. I think he's the perfect person to be the Grand Marshal of the parade this year. So let's look forward to that. In politics, there's some stuff going on that is sort of, the Republicans, believe it or not, have come up with some logic that's gonna allow some of them to get behind a gaming amendment. GLI put out a release this week saying that there is a gaming amendment that has bipartisan support. And you know what? Guess what made it happen? You know, it's surprising they've been fighting this for years and years and years, and now suddenly Bevin is in there, and they've got an amendment that Morgan McGarvey has been on this show filed with Julie Rocky Adams, and what they had to do, they had the money is going to go to pay for pension liabilities and the KRS and the teachers' retirement system. This is the thing I think that may take this over the edge, because the Republicans have been opposed for so long, and I think it's been a question of where's that money going to go. And now they've got something they need. They have to have this money. They can't get it from anywhere else. Bevin has already made painful cuts in the arts and across the board in state government. And the only way to fund these pension liabilities may be expanded gaming. So that's the thing to watch for in the legislature, if we can get them off the subject of abortion. And it seems like it's the goal of Republicans in the legislature to make abortions impossible to get if you're a young woman. And it's caused a lot of controversy in the state among liberals who think that women should have a right to choose, and among Republicans who think that they should control women's bodies, I guess. I have sort of strong opinions on that, but we'll move on from that subject and see what happens in the legislature with the abortion bills. I did post a political cartoon by Mark Murphy, who's been on the show, and addressed that subject. You can find that on Facebook. All right, and the last topic I want to address before we get to John Flyshaker is the state of media in our city. And a very surprising thing happened, and many of you may not have noticed, but John David Dyke, the former Courier Journal columnist who moved over to WDRB several years back he's an attorney and he's a freelance. He moved over to WDRB and WDRB put his columns on their website for at least several years. And he's a great voice. He's a conservative columnist, and I really like him. I've met him, he wrote a column, said this was his last. And I didn't know why. I sent an email to John David, and he replied that basically, surprisingly, Bill Lamb, WDRB, they just decided they were cutting back, and they weren't going to continue his contract. So one of the few columnists, I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You can say that back when, you know, when I was growing up, I wanted to grow up and be Billy Reid. You know, I wanted to be a columnist and Bob Hill and all those traditional names. Well, nobody has that big a voice anymore in the media. Maybe there's a lot of people, too many people, that are putting their opinions out there because of social media, etc. But, you know, there are very few really thoughtful columnists. And basically, Louisville just lost another one because John David also told me he wasn't interested. He wasn't really looking for a new gig. I wonder if that would change if somebody made him an offer. But anyway, the point is, really sorry to see John David Dyke's column go away at WDRB.com. And now if you go there, all you got is Bill Lamb in terms of opinion at the station. So that's a big change in our market. And it gets me into really the changes that have taken place in media. And there's nobody better. There's nobody that knows more about local media and the legal changes and the way things have changed than John Flyshaker. John, I've just got to tell you, I hope he'll forgive me for giving his age. He told me he's 70. You know, I'm 55. I had a few chances to play John in racquetball. He was a really, really, you know, among the best in the city, had to give it up a few years ago because when we get old, our bodies give out, and that's why my ankle's in the shape it is and all that. But anyway, John and I go back to he had to vet some stories for me at Business First when I was a reporter there, and he's just handled a lot of media issues. He operates a Kentucky Press hotline. For every media organization in the state knows who John Flyshaker is. He's the first one to call if you get in trouble or somebody threatens to sue you. And he's also been at the forefront, as we talk about in this interview, of getting documents released to the public that organizations like the University of Louisville try to keep out of the public's eye. So anyway, I thought he'd be a great, great guest. And unfortunately, I was able to catch up with him downtown at his office at Dinsmore, the law firm. So that's what we're talking about. And I really enjoyed my conversation with John. Hope you'll stay tuned and listen as I talk with John Flyshaker.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And today I'm in downtown Louisville with a guy who used to kick my ass regularly in racquetball. John Flyshaker, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
John, we have both been unable to continue our racquetball careers.
That's true.
Getting old kind of sucks sometimes.
But it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, and you were much better than me. But we played a lot of racquetball through the years, and but I originally came across you and in legal circles when I was a reporter at Business First, and
right.
And they kept calling you in to look at my stories. You remember that?
I've been called in to look at a lot of people's stories, so yeah, I do remember bumping into you at Business First. Sure,
yeah. Those were the days, but and then I went on to do some sort of media criticism. I talked to you a lot as a source. That's you've become sort of, I mean, not recently, but for a long time, been sort of the expert in First Amendment issues here in town.
I've done a lot of it. I've been doing it for literally 45 years now. I mean, when I got out of law school in 1970, within a year I was doing media work. So
yeah. Yeah, and there's I remember back then we were just trying to keep from getting sued at Business First, but I guess the big thing
in media is, you know, all the changes that the internet's brought. I'm sure there's a lot of legal changes.
Actually, the base issues are the same.
Okay.
And I think the law is still the same. How you approach it, how you try to analyze it, is somewhat different. But a lot of the issues are the same. People want to make it different. Privacy is is viewed in a much different way than it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. But it's still a privacy issue, and it's analyzed under the same concepts that the traditional law was.
Okay. And and just for our listeners that don't know, you're basically retained by almost every media organization in town.
I have done work for almost every media organization, frankly, in the state, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's a big list, yeah. And you're currently here at Dinsmore and Shoal, and it's you know, seems like a good spot for you.
I've been here for an 18th year now, and
wow,
it's been very good. They understand that I do something different than most other lawyers do at the firm, and I sort of am given my own space to do it, and that's and we do some interesting cases, and we have a lot of lawyers who are interested in getting into involved in, you know, sort of new and sexy cases. So mm-hmm. it's been a good fit.
Well, let's talk. I mean, if I'm not putting you on the spot, let's talk about some of the sexy cases. What kind of cases are coming to you today
the cases that what I call sexy cases are really the high publicity cases. So you're talking about the cases that we've had over the years where I've been involved against the Catholic Church with the sealing of the records with the pedophilia cases, going against the University of Louisville and trying to get a little bit more transparency in a place that has no transparency at all. Been involved against the Cabinet for Health and Family Services with records about abused kids killed or nearly killed as a result of abuse or neglect. I've been involved going after records about the UK basketball program. That was years ago, but that's still generated more discussion than anything else I've ever done. It's you know, all the institutions are fair game.
Yeah, and it seems like maybe a lot of people don't understand that aren't in the industry. They sort of don't understand what open records laws are, and the fact that these organizations like U of L and the Catholic Church, these organizations, they're compelled to open up their files.
What you're talking about is public agencies. Now, the Catholic Church is a little bit different because it's certainly not a public agency,
right,
but it's an institution that has a tremendous amount of impact and a tremendous amount of public interest in it. And when you got involved in the pedophilia cases, for example, that the Catholic Church was in a public institution. It was in court.
Okay.
And so the records of the court cases became public. The whole concept of public access to public agencies through open records and open meetings is really a fairly new concept over the last 45 or 50 years.
Okay.
We've been very successful in Kentucky with it, more successful than in many states, but that's because we've pushed it harder.
Okay.
In my judgment, we pushed it harder, and we've had some very high profile cases where the public wants to know,
sure,
what's going on.
Sure. And I would guess that you're a little bit off subject, but along with the subject, Oscar season's here, and you know, I'm sure you've seen the movie of Oscar season that we're pulling for, Spotlight.
Right.
Right. Was it amazing to you how much different things were then than they are now?
It's very different.
I mean, it was only 15 years ago.
I saw Spotlight and really enjoyed it for two reasons. One, I thought it was a terrific movie. I thought it did a very good job of portraying the media's media's part in that game, that story in Boston. We had a similar story in Louisville. It brought back a lot of memories. Different kind of game because most of our game in Louisville, and I'm using game in a broad sense, most of the situation in Louisville revolved around the judicial process, around the court cases. In Boston, they were doing, I guess, original research.
Sure.
But yeah, I brought back, it's It's an interesting movie. Anytime I watch a movie like that, I really want to know the real facts.
Yeah, exactly.
It downplayed the reporters were really important. The editor was extremely important. Mm-hmm. It's a really good story. The lawyer wasn't very important and seemed to be sort of weak. I think it was somewhat different in Louisville. But that movie really did a good job of talking about, of portraying how important the media was in terms of breaking a story sure. that was a long, ongoing, deeply embedded, very important story, and the kinds of community resources that were against it, including the Catholic Church
yeah.
in Boston.
Yeah. It's tough because people are fighting against, you know, that's the challenging thing I think about investigative journalism is you're uncovering things that people don't want to have out.
That's
you
right.
know, and I just wonder your opinion. You've been at it a long time. Investigative journalism, I mean, do you see a lot of people say there's so much less of it, and it's a terrible thing about the media. But you know, there's still stuff going on. What do you think about the current state of investigative journalism around here?
I guess it depends on what you mean by investigative journalism.
Okay.
I think that clearly with the old staples, the Courier Journal, the Lexington Herald Leader, the big newspapers. You don't have that. You don't have the committed resources that you mm-hmm. used to, and that is a problem. I think you're starting to see what, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call the alternative media forms.
Yeah, bloggers like I was.
Bloggers.
Back in,
I think it's. I think it's starting to come around. I think you're starting to see more of it. I've always been convinced since we started talking about this issue that's. We would end up in a place where we would have just as much access and just as much effort. It would just be done differently,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's becoming true. The problem is do individuals like you mm-hmm. have the staying power to fight a corporation or to fight the state?
Sure,
because it takes a lot of it not only takes a lot of economic power, it takes a lot of energy.
Okay.
And frankly, I'm seeing changes in law firms that want to handle this kind of stuff because a lot of law firms are getting more corporate. I'm doing a lot of stuff just because I'm doing a lot of stuff, and I do what I want to do at this point. But I don't know how many more people can do it in a large firm which has got substantial economic power
sure.
because of the conflicts that come about. But I think that'll work itself out too. I mean, we'll figure something out. I do think it's going to be a different game. It's funny. I was thinking when after we had talked this morning.
Yeah.
I was thinking when I first started out, everybody talked about the Courier Journal having a monopoly.
Yeah.
Well. My goodness, nobody, I mean, it's a ridiculous, it's sort of a silly thought at this point about any monopoly concept
right.
in the media. There are so many voices out there, it's good and bad, mostly good, I think.
Yeah. I think people are concerned some stories get missed.
I think there are a lot of stories that get missed because I think a lot of people in the media chase each other.
But I think
there are a lot of stories that get missed that wouldn't have been missed 30 years ago. And I don't know the answer to that because I think it takes reporters on the beat.
Well, you're known for certainly defending Courier Journal and the TV stations, et cetera. Have you had cases with like little guys? Like you know, fortunately, I never got sued as a blogger, but I'm sure there's sort of these renegade blogger journalists that
I have had situations where I have counseled individuals working okay. as individuals.
Yeah,
I think one of the interesting things is there's all these protections that are in the law for the media.
Yeah,
proper protections, including huge protections under the First Amendment. And that was always thought of as journalist protections. And now we got a whole new idea of trying to figure out who a journalist is, because all of us really are journalists. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the pictures that are being taken and the police officers and everything that's happened in the last year, year and a half, that's really a form of journalism too.
Sure.
I mean, everybody's got a phone these days.
Everybody's posting stuff on Facebook. I'm sure that's complicated.
And I think that's, I mean, I've always thought that the protections for the press were really protections of free speech. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure everybody agrees with me on that. But I do think that once we get past, once we get to a period where the judges are all comfortable with the new media, mm-hmm. which we're not there yet, I think we're going to see that happen. I think we are in the wild, wild west a little bit in terms of trying to figure it out, in terms of who's a journalist and that type of thing. But we'll get there. May not be while I'm practicing law, but we will get there.
Well, that's a good one to close on. John, thank you so much for visiting with me a few minutes. I hope I don't have to call you on business anytime in the near future.
Well, I'm sort of like the dentist. You don't get many clients who are smiling when they come in to see you, but it's always fun working with you.
All right, John. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
And that will do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I want to thank my guest, Trevor Cravens of the Tailspin Ale Fest and Draft Magazine, for being such a great guest and buying me a beer at the World of Beers out there in way out off the Snyder at near Norton Commons. That was fun. And to John Fleischaker, who welcomed me up to his office at the 24th floor of the National City Tower. That was really great. And I want to take this moment to mention a few things about some guests. It's a big week for birthdays. Our Breakfast of Champions speaker on March 8th is Robbie Valentine. He is having a birthday on February 4th, and encourage you to watch the social media for news about the Breakfast of Champions and also the Cocktails with Champions event that is we're starting up on March 2nd. It's also a birthday this week of somebody very near and dear to me. My son Nick Redding is in Italy studying theater and is a great young man. He's 26 and celebrating a birthday Saturday. I'm sure missing. So anyway, that's it for the show this week. I'll be back next week with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville. I want to thank Passport Health Plan, my main sponsor, as well as Dan Vonderhyde, the producer, Bill Breimer, who takes photos, Jason Smith does a great job with my web work, and Jackie Bentley for posting stories on LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. We'll be back next week with more of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings every time.